Welcome to Season 4, Episode 2 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about how Jesus became like us. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. Jesus came to earth in order to save man from sin. Matthew 1:21 says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost," Luke 19:10. This was God's plan from the beginning. Paul wrote, "This was in accordance with the eternal purpose, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord," Ephesians 3:11, "and was put in motion shortly after sin entered into the world with the first prophecy about Jesus' death on the cross," in Genesis 3:15. So in order to save us, Jesus first had to be made like us. Hebrews 2:17 says, "Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." So how was Jesus made like us? Completely? Or was there some sense in which he was already like us? This is what we're going to discuss in this episode. For years, there has been controversy over the deity of Christ. The Bible plainly teaches that Jesus is God. We discussed this some last week. In John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus also never surrendered his deity in coming to earth. Acts 20:28, Paul said the blood of God was shed on the cross. Jesus continues to be God even today. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, in refuting the error that Jesus forfeited his deity when he came to earth, many brethren have resorted to using an oversimplification when they say that Jesus was fully God and fully man. Of course, being 100% of one thing and 100% of another thing is illogical. And some brethren admit that this may not make sense, but insist that this is just what happened. After all, Jesus did not surrender his deity, and that's certainly true. And so he must have been, at least in their minds, must have been fully God and fully man. And they assert this as if this is the only alternative to the view that Jesus gave up his deity. The claim that Jesus was fully God and fully man, while being used to refute error, leads to or supports another incorrect concept about Christ. It is the idea that Jesus had two spirits, a human spirit and a divine spirit. The divine spirit would have been the perfect spirit of God. The human spirit would have been a weak, fallible human spirit inherently inclined to evil. There would then naturally, if this were true, be a struggle between these two spirits in the person of Christ. And as a result, many believe that Jesus had periods of weakness, struggled with temptations, he even desired to escape the cross shortly before his arrest. This idea fits right along with the teachings of John Calvin. One of the tenets of Calvinism is the total depravity of man, the idea that man is born already inclined to evil. This human spirit, many say, is what Jesus inherited when he came to earth. Those who affirm the deity of Christ and also believe that Jesus inherited a human spirit when he came in the flesh do believe one important fact, that Jesus had a divine spirit. Now, when Jesus was made like his brethren in all things, did he need to be given a human spirit? Actually, no. Humans are already made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26 and 27 tells us. We know this has to do with a spiritual nature, not physical, since God is spirit, John 4:24. Therefore, since creation, Jesus was already like his brethren in the fact that he, like created man, was a being with a spiritual nature. So how then was Jesus made like his brethren? The answer is in the context. Hebrews 2:14 says, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had power of death, that is, the devil. What was Jesus lacking in order to be able to come to earth and make propitiation for the sins of the people? Hebrews 2:17. What was he lacking in order to be able to do that? He lacked a physical flesh and blood body. The Hebrew writer made this point later in the epistle. Hebrews 10:5 says, "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me." Then a few verses later, Hebrews 10:10 says, "By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." The Father prepared a body for Christ so that he could come to earth and offer that body and shed his blood, as is talked about in Hebrews 9:11 through 14 and also verse 22, to make atonement for the sins of mankind. Giving Jesus a human spirit, so-called, was both unnecessary and impossible. Jesus had to offer his body and shed his blood. Having a, quote, human spirit was unnecessary for this. Jesus was already like man since creation when the first man, Adam, became a living soul, Genesis 2:7. Unless man's spiritual nature became inherently flawed as a result of Adam's sin, as Calvinism teaches, Jesus could not have been made any more like man with regard to a spirit than he already was. If we wish to counter the idea that Jesus gave up his deity, while not leading people toward the Calvinistic notion that the human spirit is naturally inclined to evil, we should be more careful with our words. Instead of saying that Jesus was fully God and fully man, which is not accurate, it would be more accurate to say that Jesus was fully God in a fully functioning human body. In Jesus' earthly existence, we see the Spirit of God housed in a human body. We do not need to assign a corrupt spirit to man and then, by extension, assign this to Christ when the Bible does not do this. It is important that error is refuted, but it is also important that we are careful with the arguments that we make. A careless refutation of error can lead to another false concept. We need to be careful to speak of things as the Word of God does. How was Jesus made like his brethren? The scriptures answer that in the same context that we find those words. He took on flesh and blood so that he could carry out his mission to come to earth, to live among men, to live a perfect and sinless life, and then sacrifice that life on the cross for us. Whenever there's confusion about what the Bible teaches, we need to use the Bible to determine what God means on any given subject. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about Jesus as the great debater. Until then, I hope you have a great week.